you so much. And I have to say, hey, Pastor Ryan, we were just together down in Florida for a discipleship meeting. That was earlier in the week, part of the travels that I had, and came back up and got out of the car. And I stayed a little bit longer than Pastor Ryan because we're looking to do an outreach event over in Pensacola. And then got off the plane and got in my car and drove straight over to Christiansburg, Virginia. And this young girl had it on her heart by faith to put together an outreach event. And she said she had reached out to me probably about a year before that and said, please, please, will you come and speak at this event? And I couldn't say no to her, because anybody that steps out in faith and wants to do something like that, they have my heart. So went there and spoke, and then came back home super late that night. So it is usually, it's a go, go, go ministry, and my hashtag is the life of a traveling evangelist. And it's very, always interesting, because when you live on the road, you learn how to adapt, and you learn how to do crazy things to live. So this was one of the funniest things that recently happened. When you don't have when you don't have a refrigerator in your hotel room, I live in hotels quite often. So this is what I figured out. If you take a chair, the rolly chair that they usually have under the desk, and you push it up to the air conditioner, and you have your drinks and maybe your leftover pizza that you get, and you slide it up to the air conditioner, I call it a chair conditioner, because it keeps everything ice cold. It's amazing. So you have to, you know, you begin to learn things creatively, and you begin to think like MacGyver and do things however you can do them. So that's part of my life, and I wanted to show you guys this right here. The name of my ministry is called Hope Uprising, and I want you to see the logo because this is so important to me. It's all about lifting people up who are down, and bringing hope to those who have no hope. And we all know that our hope is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And ever since I have been a young lady, I knew that my passion and my calling was to be an evangelist. That's my number one calling in life. And you guys watched the video, I'm sure, that talked a little bit about the ministry, but I'll give you probably an elevator version of where I came from and part of my passion, of my testimony, of why I have a passion for such people that are the lowest of the low. You know, and it makes me think about, even when I was in grade school and when I was in middle school, before I ever got involved in the lifestyle that I lived, you know, I hung out with the popular kids when I was younger. And I remember I had a heart for the other kids that everybody else shunned. And I never forget this one girl saying to me, she said, you're the only one that talks to us. You're the only person that gives us a chance. And I believe that God wires us the way that we are for a specific reason and a specific purpose. Another thing that since I was a kid is I've always been extremely bold and extremely stubborn. And that can be used in a very positive way, or that can be used in a very negative way. And so when I was about 12 years old, some things happened in my family. Parents divorced, pastor's daughter, and I went crazy. And the enemy just came and whispered lies in my ears and said, you know, if God is good and real, how could He allow these things to happen? And I went out with a determination. I'm going to destroy my life. And I'm going to make everybody pay for what's happened to me. And I was hurting on the inside. And one of my friends, and you're going to hear about it as I speak this morning, my best friend when I was 12 years old, we snuck out of the house. We met up with a few guys back where I lived in Virginia. We lived in the country. And so these guys, they had four-wheelers, and they were not even of age, 16 years old. They were the same age as us. They got on four-wheelers, and they drove out to an empty field, and that's where we met up. And they had prescription pain pills. And that was the beginning of what would become a very quick downward spiral. And so by the time I was 13, I had taken acid, cocaine, marijuana, meth, basically anything I could get my hands on. Because, again, I was very bold. I didn't care. Somebody would say, here, try this. I'd be like, okay, cool. And by the time I was 15, I got addicted to a prescription drug called OxyContin. And while kids were doing things like academics, cheerleading, all these different things, for me, I had to do that in order to survive. And so we would go before school, my friend and I. And we would have to go see a dealer. We'd get something before we went to school. We'd leave during lunch. We'd go again. We'd go get another pill. And then we would go after school, and the cycle continued. And so I began to sell drugs while I was in school. Ended up getting arrested. And by the grace of God, I did not get felony charges, although there I should have with the circumstances. But God had a better way. And so that happened and continued on. By the time I was 17, barely graduated high school by the skin of my teeth. And I was at this point, I had bounced around as a teenager. My mom remarried. She moved to West Virginia. So I had lived with my dad, did not want to move to West Virginia, moved in with my grandparents, bounced around. You know, I lived out of a suitcase. And at 17, I made a decision, and my grandparents, God bless them, they just couldn't handle me. And I went out on the streets, and I got involved with the drug dealer who was very, very high up in the game. And at the time, he was a fugitive. And the way that I got involved with him is that I was driving down. I was going to go see him and one of my friends. And they were literally running down the street. And they saw my car. And they waved me down because they were running from the cops. And they jumped in my car. And I was the getaway car. That's how we got connected. And so we went and we became Bonnie and Clyde. And we were doing felony things that I should have gotten in so much trouble for. But God's hand was still on my life. And so eventually it got to the place where he went to prison. And he took so much heat. And it took so much time that I should have been in prison for. And I look back on it and I'm just like, man, God, I can't believe how good you were to me. And so when I was finally... I was about 18 years old, and or 17, 18 years old, and I was a full-blown needle junkie. I was addicted to heroin. That was my number one, was opiates. And, you know, I never thought I would do that before. You look at yourself, and, you know, I remember being in Amsterdam one time, and I was literally in the... In Amsterdam, they have these rows of windows where you can go in, little spaces where the women stand there, and they're basically half naked, and they stand there, and so it's like a shopping mall. So you walk around, and you're like, I think I'll take that one. That's how that, and it's legal. And so they pay, that's their business, and they pay taxes on that. And so I went in there where the women were, and we begin to talk to them and pray for them. And it was so sad. And you know, I've thought about it so often. Nobody says when they're a little kid, one day when I grow up, I want to become a prostitute. Nobody says when they're a little kid, one day when I grow up, I want to become a drug addict. Nobody says when they're a little kid, one day when I grow up, I want to become an adulterer. Nobody says these things, but life happens. And sometimes, you know, the devil throws that bait out to us, and we're human, we have flesh, and we take the bait, and there we go. And we find ourselves in a situation where we're a slave, and we don't know how to get free. And so I found myself a complete needle junkie living in abandoned buildings. I found myself sleeping in cars, you know, these crack motels, and just a horrible, horrible lifestyle. Well, here's the cool thing. God spoke to my mother and woke her up in the middle of the night and said, I want you to begin to pray for your daughter. And so she began to pray, and the Lord said, as Amy being your seed, I want you to take authority over this addiction and break its power. And so she began to pray, and she broke the power of the addiction. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, now I want you to praise me for her deliverance and thank me for her ministry. Now, I'll tell you right now, the last thing, especially in that moment of time, the last thing I would ever want to do would to be in ministry. Okay, I'm just being honest. But that's what the Lord gave her a word. And so I would come to her house as strung out as I was and progressively getting worse, and she would look at me, and those who know my mom, she's just a really gentle soul. But man, she's a spitfire intercessor. So if she's praying for you, you better watch out, because, you know, whatever she's praying is going to come to pass. And so I would come into the house, and she'd be like, the Lord says you are delivered. And I'd be like, you know, this Jesus stuff, are you kidding me? And I would go back into the bedroom, and I would continue to shoot up, because that's what I was addicted to. Okay? And so I love it. And part of the reason, this is so incredible, but part of the reason that I'm dressed the way that I'm dressed today is because I wore these leggings, which have military meaning, a jacket that has military meaning. The reason I dress like that today is because I came here with a certain purpose, and that is to tell us and to empower us to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty before God for the pulling down of strongholds. And the Bible says that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so when she went into prayer and into intercession, she went to a place where she was battling something not of this earth, but something in the heavenly places. And when that thing got broken, all of a sudden, it was not seen in the natural, but in the spirit realm, it was broken. And God began to send people to me, complete strangers. And they gave me the same word over and over and over and over again. And they brought to me Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. And so my heart had grown so hardened. So hardened. I was churched as a kid, and I was so burnt out as a kid. But then when these things start happening, when it's not God so loves the world, but now it becomes God so loves me. Come on. That's when you begin to realize, whoa, this thing is for real. And so I ended up in the hospital with my arm. They almost had to amputate my arm. And that's when, and they said, the doctor said to my parents, you might as well get ready for her funeral because she's about to die. And as I stayed in that hospital bed, this group of women who had fasted and prayed, and it's not that they had been through what I'd been through, okay? Because sometimes we think, well, I can't relate to that person because I've never walked where they've walked. Honey, the love of Jesus is all that we need. And the power of the Holy Spirit can reach anybody. And so they came in full of the power of the Holy Spirit and said, can I pray for you? I said, yeah. What do I have to lose at this point? I've done it all. I've tried it all. And at the end of the road, I'm empty. I'm hopeless. I wake up the next morning and I got to go out and do it all over again. It's just a life of torment, a life of pain. And so these ladies begin to pray. And this is what I love, when the Holy Spirit and the fire of God comes down and begins to speak things to you that there's no way that someone can know. And they begin to read your mail. And that is when, just like the book of Ezekiel says, that God will take away a heart of stone and he will bring a heart of flesh. The Lord took away that hardened heart as a 19-year-old who had ran the streets, who had taken care of myself. I felt like I didn't need anybody. I can take care of myself. And all of a sudden, I began to see, I'm just a broken little girl. I'm just a broken little girl who needs a daddy. And he's my daddy. And they said to me the word surrender. Are you ready to surrender your life to Christ? And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how that praying, the little magical prayer, would change my life. But I meant it with all my heart. And I prayed. I'm telling you right now, that was the first day that was of the rest of my life where I became born again. And it's been the most exciting roller coaster with Jesus. And I have been walking with him now for, I guess it's been, we'll see, 19 to 31. What is that? 12 years. Yeah, 12 years I've been walking with Jesus. And walking in freedom. Come on, somebody. Walking in freedom. And so this morning, I want to read something, and it's so powerful because as soon as I woke up this morning, the last song that we sang, Lauren Daigle, that sings the song about the dry bones coming to life, that song just came in my spirit. And I'd planned something different, but that song came in my spirit. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you. Had no clue that they had planned on singing it. And so I want us to look at Ezekiel chapter 37. I want us to read through this. And I hopefully we'll see things in a different light. You know, one thing I loved was that when Pastor Rick and I had the opportunity to connect over the phone, we had the same heart and passion, not for churches to just get recycled Christians, but to go after the ones that are out there and they don't have any church home. Come on. Because there's enough people that have churches that they're going to. But the amount of people without churches that don't know anything about Jesus is just outrageous. The numbers are outrageous, okay? And so let's take a look at this right here, 37 verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round and about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. You see, here's what I believe, is that so often, and y'all don't throw stones at me, I hope that you love me by the end of this prayer. Good thing we did the offering in the beginning, because I am an evangelist, okay? So often, we're so content with sitting where we are and constantly receiving, and we go out in the world, we go and do what we need to do, but we look at those people who may not look like us, they may not smell like us, they may not talk like us, come on. They may look totally different. And instead of trying to relate to them and be kind to them, I'm going to tell you, a smile will go a long way. A smile will go a long way. A hello will go a long way. But instead, we try to dodge them and go about our business. I can't tell you what it felt like when I was in my world of addiction, and I would see Christian people that would be out and about, and they would just snuff me like that. And I would be like, if that's what Christianity is about, because here's the deal. You know, the Bible says that we're to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, but a lot of times Christians look like they've been baptized into pickle juice. They got such a sour look on their face. And it's like, where's the joy of the Lord, man? But the lost are all around us. And we're in the world, but we're not of it. But what are we supposed to do when we're in it? It's very clear. So the Spirit of God brought Ezekiel down into the valley, and there was tons of dry bones. There's dry bones right outside these doors. And here's the mentality that many church people have. Well, in order to reach the lost, we got to bring them inside the church. And that brings it all on Pastor Rick's shoulders. So let's have an evangelistic day. Usually it's Easter. Come on. I'm speaking truth up in here. It's Easter. Let's bring your family and your unsaved. And that one day a year we're praying, bless God, and believing that our lost people are going to get saved on Easter. Honey, I'm telling you right now, every single person in this room has the capacity and the ability to go out and to do what God has commissioned us to do. I'm telling you. Verse 3, he said to them, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered him, O Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you several stories as we go along through Ezekiel chapter 37. The first one, is this, and the one thing I want to share with us is sometimes we look at people and we look at their situations and we judge them according to their sin. And we did, well, I don't know, I can't approach that. I don't know how to approach that. Jesus does. The love of Jesus covers all sins. It's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. I'll tell you a story right now. I've got about five stories I want to share with you. First one is this. I was in Starbucks. And I came in to get a coffee. And I met a lady, probably in her mid or upper 20s, maybe early 30s. And she was dressed like a guy. You could tell that. And I got my coffee and I went and I sat down. I was just drinking my coffee, doing what I was doing. Spirit of God gave me a word for that girl. And I said, all right, Jesus. And I walked, and it's nothing profound. It was nothing profound. Something simple. And so I walked up to the counter and I said, I really feel like the Lord is saying blah, 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 blah to you. I can't remember what it was. And I said, you know, I know you're working right now, and I don't want to disturb you while you're working. I said, but I would love to pray with you that you could accept Jesus Christ into your heart and be saved. And I'm telling you right now, this girl was like, she did not wait another second, but she starts like immediately coming back around that counter. And she's like, yes, yes, I want to be saved. And she takes my hands right there and she prays and she gives her heart to Jesus. And she said in that moment, she was like, I am going to go home and I am going to leave my girlfriend. Come on, man. That's so powerful. Jesus knows how to do it. Jesus does. We can't look at it with hatred. Jesus knows how to save. He came to seek and save those which were lost. And I love how the Lord said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, Lord, only you know. And the Lord gave him the solution, prophesy. How will they know unless someone tells them? Romans chapter 10. How would they know that Jesus is the way? Unless somebody tells them. Tell them about Jesus. I'll tell you another situation. This is probably one of my favorite stories that I ever tell. We went out one night doing street ministry in one of the roughest parts of St. Louis and came up to this one area. We would just go where the Holy Spirit said stop, and we would stop and we'd get out. And as we jumped out of the van, I see this gentleman who's standing there, and this was in like just a very, very bad part of town. And I see he's real tall, and here I am. I'm always the one that is like just me running over there like crazy person. And so I'm running over there to the gentleman, and I see him looking at me like, who is this girl running over to me? Like, he's shocked that I have the boldness to run over to him by myself. And so I run over there, and I start a conversation. Hey, man, what's up? My name's Amy. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. And we began to have conversation, and I started, you know, sharing my testimony with him. Hey, this is where I came from, blah, blah, blah. And he's looking at me like, what? This girl ain't never smoked a cigarette in her life. Like, that's the way people look at me, and I love it because of the redeeming power of Christ. And I roll up my sleeves, and I'm like, look at my scars, man. They're still there. I can show you how Jesus redeemed me. And so we're sitting there talking, and he had like the teardrop tattoos, which means he has murdered people. And he began to tell me that he was like, you know, I've been in the gangs, I've murdered people, I've been a drug dealer. He begins to tell me all this different stuff about his life. And this was all I told him. This is what the Holy Spirit said to tell him. I said, the Lord says that you are not an accident. That was it. The Lord says that you are not an accident. And as soon as I said that, that big, tough gang member starts bawling. Starts bawling. And he said, my mama had me while she was in prison. And he said, I was given to my aunt to be raised. And there were tons of kids in the house. And the kids would constantly taunt me. And my aunt would tell me, you're just an accident. You were never meant to be born. You're just an accident. Which led him down the path that he went. And so right there in that moment, Holy Spirit softened his heart. And it was so awesome. We took hands right there in that moment. And we prayed. And he accepted Christ into his heart. And you know what my favorite kind of people are? They are people that have never been churched. I'm telling you, they don't know the language. They don't know how to fall down. They don't know nothing. I'm sorry, but I'm being honest. But this was the coolest thing. After he got saved, God did such a powerful work of joy in his life and broke that chain off of him of you're not an accident. That he just starts dancing right there in the middle of the streets, man. And he starts singing a song about how Jesus has broken his chains and Jesus has set him free. And I'm looking at that like, come on, God. Well, okay, that story is great, but it's not even finished. All right? So we would meet the spiritual needs, but we also met the physical needs. And so I said, come on, man, let's go back to the back of the van. We got sandwiches that we give away. And I went to give him sandwiches, and he said he needed one for himself. And then he said, I've got 11 children. And when he said that, just like many of you, your eyes went, 11 children, whoa. And as soon as he said 11 children, something inside of me went, wait a second. Because he had been saying to me, after he had given his heart to Christ and we were just having conversation, he said, man, you know, I'm just nervous about going home. He said, because I'm living with my girlfriend and I don't know how she's going to respond to this whole Jesus thing. And so when we got to the back of the van and he said 11 children, something said, hold up, wait a second. And I remembered about 2 hours earlier that day where I was out on the streets and we were witnessing, and I met a young woman and I talked to her and I led her to Christ. And I took her to the back of the van, and I said, how many sandwiches do you need? She says, well, I've got 11 children at home. And I was like, all right. And I said, what was her name? And he told me, and it was a very unique name. I can't remember it now. It was the same woman. Come on, somebody. The same woman. That's how God works. Supernaturally. He was looking out for both of them. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So that's just such a powerful story. All right, let's continue to read in Ezekiel 37. As Ezekiel began to prophesy, it says in verse 5, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you so that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you that you may come alive so that you will know that I am the Lord your God. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise." You see, I believe there's a prophetic noise that's happening, and it's happening all around the world. But the question is, can we hear it? Can we hear the noise? Because God, He's stirring up. And I do believe with all my heart, and I believe that those who are in tune with Spirit and know the Word of God agree with me. Jesus is coming back soon. And so the rattling is taking place. And He wants us to reach those who are lost. That's the priority of His heart, is to reach those. That's why He came. Is to seek and save those who are lost. Come on, somebody. There was a noise. There was a noise. Yeah, okay, I'll interject another story. I have lots of stories, but I have to share them because they make me happy. All right, here's another story that happened. I have three more. Somehow I'm going to interject them in, even if they don't really make sense to interject. All right, so here's another story. We would go out doing outreach, and it was a ministry called Adopt a Block, where we go out, and it was acts of service. So you go, and you're consistently going to the same neighborhoods, and you would take rakes and lawnmowers and trash bags, and I mean, I do like tons of laundry where people just, they depressed and they couldn't do their laundry. And I mean, whatever somebody needed done, you showed the love of Christ by showing up every week and saying, "What do you need done today?" And eventually they see Jesus in that, because Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom to many. And so here we come back down the street to the church, and I remember going into this, it was the bottom of an apartment complex. So there was apartments up here in the top, and we were on ground floor. And there was about three girls that were down at the bottom. And I shared the gospel with these three girls. Told them about Jesus. And all three of them accepted Christ. They all wanted to be saved. And there was a couple other girls with me on my team. And I said, "Well, you're saved." I said, "Why not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why you got to wait to go through a 6-week course, or, you know what I'm saying? You need it now, honey. You need it now." And so I explained it to him, and they said, "Yeah, I want that." And so here we are. We held hands, and we started praying. And those three girls, I'm telling you, were gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, what was so cool about that moment is that people started coming out of those apartments, and they're looking down, and it reminded me of the day of Pentecost, because here it is about 11 o'clock in the morning, and these people are looking down thinking, pray thinking, are these people drunk? Are they mad? Like, what in the world is going on? But these women were gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with Jesus. Come on now. I love it. We can't be afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit. People need it. All right. Verse 8, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and they grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, so that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. An exceedingly great army. I'll close out with a couple more stories, and then we'll wrap up, okay? Here's another. I'll tell you just two more. Every year, we have an outreach called Invasion. And if you looked at my logo, many of you would say, ah, because it's made, it has a skull and it's got bones. And many people, they look at it and they think, that's evil. It's not evil. To the lost world, it looks exactly what they want to see. To me, it's, if you look at the head, it has Roman numerals for 37, because it is Ezekiel 37, dry bones. And when we bring tickets, free tickets, and we try to bring in the worst of the worst of the worst, and when they get there, I speak those words over them. I prophesy those words over them. You may be at the point of death, but God wants to raise you up to be an exceedingly great army and to send you back into those dark places to literally pull people out of the same hell that you came out of. I'm telling you, it's so powerful. And so it was probably 2 years ago. And we do water baptisms. We have amazing music. We have hip-hop. We have some artists that come in that are crossover rock music. We have, you know, the right bait for the right fish. Amen? This is what I say. If you want to catch a catfish, you can't use trout bait. So if we have the Gaithers there, if you love the Gaithers, I'm not being disrespectful to them. But if you have the Gaithers there, you're going to have a Christian crowd. You have to have the right bait to catch the right fish. So we have skateboarders and we have BMX. We have things that those people are interested in. And so here's the deal. We have our invasion. We preach the gospel. We give them an opportunity to be saved. And then we have water baptisms. Baptismals, and we pull tarps off, and it's so cool because there you get to see prostitutes, drug dealers, drug addicts. I mean, a little bit of everything. People getting baptized right there on the spot without dry clothes, without towels, because they had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it blows my mind. So I'm down there baptizing people, and there's this one girl, and she didn't even come for the whole event. She just came for the altar call. Something drew her there for the altar call. And she said to me, she was shaking all over. She says, I don't even know why I'm here right now. She said, but I felt drawn to come in. And she said, I've never been to church a day in my life. I don't know anything about Jesus. She said, but there's just something going on inside of me. And I was like, I started talking to her about Jesus and telling her about him. She had given her heart to Christ. And I had the opportunity to baptize that girl. It was so powerful. The Holy Spirit drew her in there. And the last story I want to close with is this. When I was 12 years old, you heard the story about how my best friend and I, we snuck out of the house, we met up with some guys, prescription drugs, and that's where it all began. Years later, I was to be speaking at a church in my hometown, and they had put up posters everywhere, and part of the place they put posters was at the methadone clinic, where my friend and her husband were methadone. They went to the methadone clinic. And they saw it, and she wanted to go. But her husband said, "You are not allowed to go," because he knew how ruthless I was back in those days. And so finally the husband said, "Well, we can go, but you are not allowed to talk to her." And so by the end of the service, when they came to the service, by the end of it, she came up and gave her heart to Christ. And by the time it was over, he's like, you got her phone number, right? You got her phone number, right? Not only did she get saved, but also we went down to the river because we's in the country. We went down to the river, and I had the chance to baptize my best friend of where it all started. Amen? And so I believe, you know, this is where the Holy Spirit led me today. And I believe with all of my heart that God is stirring up something in this place. And I don't care what age you are. If you're young or if you're elderly, you have more wisdom to impart. Come on. You can impart wisdom that the younger generation, they don't have. But when we go to Walmart, I believe the Spirit of the Lord showed me the greatest move of God that we're going to see. It's not going to be where we think it's going to be. Come on now. It's going to be in Walmart. It's going to be in Starbucks. It's going to be in McDonald's. I'm going to tell you this right now. I do Bible study to the homeless in a restaurant. This man came in with 7 tumors on his chest. 7 cancerous tumors. And he wanted prayer. And as soon as we got out of Bible study, we walked outside. I put my hands on that man's chest and began to pray. And I swear, it felt like I was in a heavenly place. One by one, those tumors, it was like an eraser. Those tumors just went away, one by one. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor was amazed. Come on now. It's powerful. And I love the fact that there is no cameras. There is no glory in it. It's just a homeless man that got healed by Jesus. Yeah. And so today, as we close, I want to give you guys an invitation. An invitation to say, yes, I want to be a part of God's army. And make a commitment today. Make a real commitment to say, Lord, I will be a part of your army. I will go where you tell me to go. I will say what you tell me to say. I will reach those that you tell me to reach. Even if they don't look like me. Even if they don't smell like me. I want to be a part of this Ezekiel dry bone army. And here's what I want to say also. This is not an emotional coercion type of thing. If you don't feel it, don't do it. I always say that. If you don't feel it, don't do it. But if you feel it, make a commitment to Him. There's no greater joy in life than to lead someone to Christ. None. And so right now, if you want to be a part of that army, I want you to stand. I want you to stand, and I want to pray for you. Yeah, so Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for these warriors, Lord. For these warriors, God, for these who are ready to go and do as you command them to do, Lord, and say what you tell them to say, Lord. I thank you, Father, right now that every spirit of fear would be broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that every spirit of rejection would be broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for a persistence, Lord, a persistence, Lord, that even if they talk to one person and that person says no, Lord, that they would just continue on, dust their feet off and just keep on going. Lord, we thank you for a harvest of souls, harvest of souls. You said it, Lord. You said that if we ask for laborers, you said to ask for laborers to send into your field. And Lord, these are your laborers. God, anoint them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said in your word, we would receive power when the Holy Spirit would come upon us, and then we would be witnesses. God, we need your power to be your witnesses. Jesus, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you flow through this room? Would you bring your empowerment right now? And Lord, I thank you for strategic thinking. I thank you for creative thinking. And Father, I pray, just as I prayed this years ago, let the people that need to receive you, who are ripe and ready for picking, let it be as if there is a flame of fire above their head, and that each person would be able to see and recognize, that's the one I need to talk to. Make it so evident, Lord. Divine assignments, starting today, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the dry bones. We thank you for the exceedingly great army that you are calling forth into this ministry, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship you for it, Jesus.